right.
Good morning. You're listening to the Republic of Texas radio show. Today is Sunday, April the 14th in 2019. And, you know, I guess I'm going to lead off with a very important piece of news and information. You know, as the next U.S. Census approaches, many Arab Americans feel left out. You know, they're going to have all these people coming to the door. And, hey, Yusuf Al-Berfethi already knows the answer he's going to give about his race in the 2020 census questionnaire. He knows it will be wrong because he's an Arab American. The only race options to him on the census are white, black, Asian. These are all categories, you know, even Alaskan, Native Hawaiian. Well, wow. But he's going to check the box that's labeled white. Man, that's self-identifying as white, actually. But, you know, he's not doing it. He's doing it under protest. Or I think it might be a she. I'm not too sure. The article kind of has a chick on it. Goes on, right, about how important it is to get the census right. And but at the end of the article, it comes on and said, the most important thing is that we are on the cusp of getting the Census Bureau to finally get the category that would help identify our community. See, the word of today is going to be community, folks. I think community will work. Just, that will help identify our community. So we know we have an Arab American living, Kalaf said. If we're able to get data, we can work on civil rights. Civil rights. Maybe we can have that as the word of the day. And maybe they'll know whether or not we have a higher rate of diabetes or heart disease. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Alan, isn't that, let's put them on the list right now. Give them a little checkbox. You know, be square or round just like ours. We'll keep it even, right?
Mm. Is there not a checkbox on there for other? He could put down like a transgender dromedary camel, and he could probably get all kinds of benefits from the government.
But we're not sure it's a he because the article is very poorly written.
Transgender in there. That could be either one.
Okay, I really did like how it ended the thing with heart disease, and well, Ken's saying, well, maybe a checkbox for citizen, right? Maybe they can have a terrorist checkbox. So, I don't know why that became the first piece of news that I wanted to cover, but it just seems so damn dramatic. Because I don't know about you, Alan, but when the government comes and knocking and asking all sorts of questions, I go, excuse me, what do you want to do? You know, what's your purpose here, sir? And
in other words, they're dividing us off by race. So who's racist in this whole thing?
Right. And this article goes on to say that, or I guess it implies that you need to get your race in there because you're going to get goodies, right? And you're going to get stuff and things, and you'll get to know if you have heart disease by the Census Bureau data and information timeline.
So they can know that if their vaccination programs in the in these designated neighborhoods where they go to the same clinics, they'll know if their vaccination rates are actually doing what they want them to do, like create heart disease and diabetes and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Well, I have no doubt that they do area specific. I mean, how better way to test a bioweapon or something else is, well, let's put a little bit of extra juice in this stuff we're sending to, Kankakee, Illinois or something like that, you know? And let's see what happens with that. I mean, it's a perfect way to do experimentation.
Yeah. I remember talking to a friend of mine who was harassed by a Census Bureau person because they do ongoing census things, Alan. Did you know about that, or did any of you out there know about that? Since we're talking census. So once they do the census, they come back and they tell you, well, we have chosen you to give us extended data. And they And so they're all, we come back once a month and ask you different questions, and they, you can't say no. Or they make it very, very hard to say no. They're very, they're like a robocaller, let's say. And so I first stumbled upon this as one of my customers' workers was telling me the story about how they'd come to her her mobile home in a trailer park. I guess it's called a trailer home then. And she'd come over to her door, knock, 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 knock. I'm with the census. You have to open the door. And she let her do that for the first 6 months. After 6 months of, you know, this lady coming over whenever the heck she wanted, she's like, no, the nuisance factor started to kick in. I said, you know, what right do you have to come over to my house and ask me all these personal questions? Well, I'm with the census, and I can... And so she said, well, let's figure this one out. And so she called the sheriff. And so the sheriff said, no, they don't have the right to do that. And said, well, are you going to send somebody out here? No, tell them to leave. Like, oh, gee, thanks. So she said, get out of my house. And, well, the lady did comply, and she got out of the house and, you know, came back another month later, and it went on and on and on. And she had to call the Census Bureau. She had to call managers. She had to do this and that. And finally, she got the census people to stop annoying her, and they claim it was all legal. Have you ever heard one of those stories?
Well, more than likely it was legal. I didn't know that they did this monthly stuff. I knew that some people got, you know, extended, you know, got like a 4-page version of, you know, your census and crawled up your butt in that way. But I didn't know that they were coming back every month, because they would have been sending a different person back if they were doing it out, trying to do it out of here. I can tell you that.
No, I know. I think I was there last time the Census Bureau visited your house, and this Pop-Tart pulled in and this rent-a-car, and it was the oddest looking thing, having this stupid rent-a-car and this homemade Twinkie, well, this Twinkie machine or ingestion machine popped her head out, or just stepped out of the car. I think she, you know, interesting, she was a little bit overworked or over-et, and she looked out of place, didn't she, Alan?
Just a wee tad, yeah. And, yeah, I wasn't real friendly with that situation.
Hey, well, you weren't too mean, let's say. I think your words were just one.
And that's all you're getting?
Okay.
You can leave now? Go.
Yeah, well, that time's coming around again. What are you going to tell the census folks? You know, not you in particular, just you at the home. What am I going to tell them? I don't care. I don't know. I don't know. You know, what are they going to ask? What does it matter?
This is kind of like those extra questions, like when you go to the doctor's office, you know, they give you this form to fill out, and it's got, you know, does anyone in your family have drug problems? Do you have drug problems? Do you have firearms and this and that? And it's like all these questions on there, and sometimes they'll even put that little yellow mark on them. You know, that's, this is one you have to answer, you know. And I'll just go in and I'll put my name and my address and maybe my phone number and leave everything else blank, and they never question me. I don't fill all that crap out, and they never say a word to me. People give so much of their information out just willingly when it's not required, and I'm sure that's probably what the census was doing, just getting extra information for their data. I mean, their data is the new money. You know, every little bit of information they can get, the more money they can sell it to someone for.
You know, it's fascinating, Alan. I bet you maybe half or 90%, somewhere in there, of the Republic Broadcasting listeners probably have done similar things or feel the exact same way about it. And I remember when I was, before I knew about Republic Broadcasting, the whole alternate news community, it was hard to find people that were that passionate about why the hell do you want that information. And then people go, but I have nothing to hide. And that just got your, you know, up one more tick. It's like, well, you just don't get the big picture. I read an article yesterday, and it was something about a Facebookian, you know, one of those folks that loves to post pictures of their food, was creeping around their Facebook control panel and found out all these people had gotten information about them, because somewhere in the settings and knobs and gears and switches, Facebook implements some stuff that says, we'll show you who wanted to know about you. And so all of a sudden, you know, this person, this girl, trolls through there, and she's going like, why did they want to know about me? And why? What, who did this? And why are they advertising? And what do they know? What don't they know? And
things like this guy here, this Guido the Killer Pimp, this guy bothers me. Why does he want my information? And, yeah.
Right. And at the end of the article, she summarized it with a different word, but she said, all I can tell is we're screwed. And then she ended her little article about how Facebook sold her and all of her identity, you know, relating things, and how stupid she was to post all this stuff on Facebook, what sandwich she ate and where and who she loved and liked and whatnot and what for. And all I could hear in my mind was, I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. And it just bites them. And so the Census Bureau, whereas initially it was meant to try to figure out how many seats that people had in our government, right? So you get to know how many Congress critters, and we can, you know, figure out Senate lines and crap like that. And so you know how many votes there should be and there shouldn't be, has grown to, what is it? It's just going to hurt us all. You know, it's a data, and they don't even need the information, Alan. They already have it from so many different data points. We'd probably be better served if our corporate masters went ahead and took all the money that they spent on the census and just bought the information from Facebook and Google and all those other places. You know, you think they might be able to find you from Facebook and Google, even if you've never been on Facebook and Google?
Oh, more than likely, because someone else has talked about you, or someone else has put a picture of you up there on it, and yeah, it's like Google Earth, Steve. You know, you can't get away from it. I didn't choose to give them, you know, the ability to look at everything that I own from the sky, and anyone can get on Google Earth and look at anyone else's stuff.
Right. I know. It's like, Google Earth and Google Streets. The invasion of privacy that entails. Like, wow, we're just going to drive by and freeze you in time, and everybody's going to know what you're doing. How many people did they catch in crimes when that technology first came out? And how many people there was a lot of them.
Look at nowadays, Steve. They can go by and say, oh, well, you know, it's an old picture. Google Earth is, what, you know, 3 months old or something like that. I can tell because, you know, my truck was, you know, has been parked there for a long time, and this, now it's moved over here, so I can tell about when this picture was taken. But then, you know, someone like out here, you know, could like come along, and then they could go down and say, like, stay down the road in one of the B&Bs and get their little drone out and fly all up and down my road and actually look at your stuff now and see. It's like, well, what does he have now? Is it in the same place? Like, when he's gone, I can tell when he's gone. It's like, where, you know, how can I spend the least amount of time, you know, robbing his crap, you know, while he's gone, because I know where it's all at, because I can fly my drone over there now and check everything out. And it's just, personal privacy is gone, and that really pisses me off to no end.
Alan, that's just a moot argument, because all drone operators are now FCC licensed. So all those guys, now that they're licensed, you know, they're all the good guys, right? And they won't do anything wrong. And sorry, folks.
Stop resisting. Stop resisting. Yeah, those guys are licensed too. Yeah.
Oh, that's just torturous. Hey, not to shift subjects, or not that this is a subject, but it probably should be. But we do have a chat room. And I've noticed a trend of late that people, chat rooms normally do this. For y'all all y'all. That's cute. For all y'all out there listening on the radio and don't go over to the interwebs, the chat room is just like a place you can go over, and I will occasionally drop links. I'm trying to work on doing that more and more often. It's very interesting because you can get things like phone numbers that the guests give out, or even background information to stories that we discuss. And this isn't only on our show. The chat rooms over at Republic Broadcasting are pretty much user. I hate that word. Well, listener, is that a better word? I guess it's a little bit better word because I'm even a listener of RBN. But it's not created by me. It's created by people that care about the shows that are on Republic Broadcasting. They're on topic. They're off topic. We particularly have this one chat room. It's called republicoftexas.chattango. It wasn't built by me. I didn't set it up. I just got the spot on RBN, and some of the chat people, they went ahead and they created the thing. Now, I do have some administrative capabilities where I can bonk you and knock you out of there and do whatever. But I don't like to censor too much. There's a couple other censors out there or people that will try to keep it off topic, on topic, whatever. But chat rooms can be a place of trouble, and they can also be a very useful place. Some things happen, and then everybody goes away. Well, right now we're kind of in a lull, but I'm going to hang in there because the life cycle of a chat room is, you know, ebbs and flows, man. It comes, it goes, and it is useful. The one thing about the chat room is if you know anything about, let's say, ours, which is republicoftexas.chattango.com, the people that you'll see in there, you'll see in a variety of different chat rooms throughout the, well, alternate media talk cycle, talky places. They'll be able to tell you a lot more about a lot of things than anybody else. So, you know, you might want to head in there and take a look. There's some pretty good people. I guess I just want to also thank a lot of these people that have spent time. Art, you know, you're very important. CFR, definitely. Thank you for joining us every week or most every week. And Mer Bailey, you know, I haven't seen you around. I hope everything's well. Haven't seen you in a lot of chat rooms. I went and tried to look through RBN chat rooms last night, and man, I saw a lot of darkness. So at least it's a systemic, you know, lull in chat-a-thoners. And hey, check this out. I guess I'm doing something right. As I was talking about the chat room, one person left the chat room. How's that, Alan? Am I batting 100 or what?
Ebb and flows. Yeah, you're right, Steve. I can see that happening because it's, you know, someone gets on there and says, well, they need to moderate that more. You know, I can't believe they said the word "the" on there. So I'm leaving, and then you have other people saying, it's like, well, everyone ought to be able to get their opinion on there. You know, why are you banning all these people and, you know, stopping them from coming on and everything? It's like censoring. And I can see the little fights and snits going on with that, too, because you're not actually directly talking to someone. So you can't have that banter, that back and flow. It's like, well, why the hell are you doing this? You know, it's all typing and this and that. And there's no repercussions for anything that might happen, you know. It's one of those strange worlds that I hear everyone complaining about. And everyone that I know, except for my mother, has been in a Facebook war. And it just kind of confuses me, really.
Facebook war, food fight, what the hell, let's do it the right way. Hey, hang on, folks. Republic of Texas Radio will be right back after these messages.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do your part. Make your voice heard. If you want to. Yeah, Liberty Stickers, they've been around for a long time. Hope you guys support them. You know, definitely, you know, they're with the network. They've got our back. Used to hearing them. It's been about 10, 11 years now. Liberty Stickers commercials. And I don't think that commercial has changed. I don't think it really needs to. Oh, well. Hey, during the break, got in a little dialogue with Alan and Ken about the Mall of America, whatever, hubbub that's going on where a kid was thrown off the third floor. You know, I'd seen the article. It's popped up in my news feeds all over the place, and I just did not have any kind of bandwidth for it or want to watch this. And but I hear that they're saying that a little white kid threw a black Somali guy off the third story balcony. And wow, you know, first I kind of want to go, kids are stupid, you know, really stupid. And define kids, you know, kids go up to, hell, let's just go up to 30. You know, what was that chick? She pushed her friend off of a bridge, into the water because she was trying to get up the, you know, the guts to jump in. But no, she pushed her friend off of a bridge, let alone, you know, what the kids have been said nowadays. Well, they're very violent from the whatever video games, you know, that comes from them.
Movies,
from the videos,
sitcoms, everything.
Movies,
yeah.
Sitcoms. Right. And there's a lot of race baiting going on. You know, they're taught, well, the black people want to kill you if you're white. The white, or the black people are saying the white people are oppressing you, and they're going to get that too. So we don't know what's going on. It's just,
and I guess
very
when a black
sad.
Guy kills another black guy, it's a love killing. I don't know.
I don't know. They might have a category for it, you know. But this week I heard that they've added a new dang word into the dictionary. And did you remember what I told you that was? It's white whining. That's white people whining about when they have white privilege, whining about being mistreated by society in general. That's white whining, folks. And I guess we're white whining because one of the white people did something bad to a black person. And, you know, if I were to say if a black person... What's that? Did I get it all wrong, Ken?
Okay.
Oh, crap. So,
and that people actually made the news. That's wild.
Huh. Okay.
I thought that one would have made the news because that would be almost like reverse racism, but that doesn't happen, right? Because you can't be racist against a white person.
Teaches me for covering a topic from break without doing the research. But yeah, I don't know that I feel better that it was a black person throwing a white kid off.
We don't know circumstances either, so you know that's one of those things where we're on the outside and we really can't make a decision about whether it was right or wrong. I mean, you know, we have no idea what was going on. Did that guy pull a knife on him? Did he pull a pacifier on him, or what? You know, I mean,
yeah, we can jump on him on Twitter and go, that's just wrong. But I don't need to hurt people and so forth. You know, that's not. Man, I wish people wouldn't. But I guess the reason I wanted to talk about that a little bit is because we were talking about living in dense situations. You know, Somalia is a dense situation for the most part, where people live in jam-packed cities. Well, they're not cities as we know it, and some rural communities as well. But it's very tight living spaces. Kind of like our cities here in the corporate United States of America. Now, I'm familiar with living in San Francisco and having your little tiny room up in the middle of nowhere, and you walk down the street and there are people everywhere, just everywhere, and you can't get away from people. And it's like, and it's great if you feel like being a people person, you want to go out and meet people and talk and do stuff like that. But when you want to pull yourself up, I don't know.
Well, you know, something that is interesting about the stack and pack stuff is, you know, my brother works for a title company, and he laid down to me, he said, you know, well, in Austin, he said, you know, all these downtown buildings, they're being converted over to condominiums. And I said, oh, the 600-square-foot type? And he said, well, I believe the smallest ones are like 800-foot condominiums, and who knows how many millions of dollars that's going for, but I'm sure it's not anything less than a million. So, I mean, 800 square foot for, you know, $1 million, sounds like a bargain, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing that's a bargain in these cities, and that comes down to the census again, and we go down to the Electoral College and, you know, who should control the world and whatnot. Unfortunately, the density of the populations, you know, they perceive their problems as totally different than ours. Like, our problems, what are our problems, Alan?
My problems are like foxes getting my chickens and bunnies and stuff, and owls and hawks and all the other critters running around out here. That's mine, you know, but I can kind of take care of that how I want to.
Okay. Well, city problems, right? We got this city called Austin, right? It's close to us. It's not too close. If you drove to Austin from here, from where I'm sitting right now, at, let's say, 6 o'clock in the morning, you'd get there in an hour. Hang on, folks. Let's do this after the break. And Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we're back. Hey, we were just talking about population density and what the heck we're going to do and what affects you and crap like that. Anyways, there's a link to that story about the poor child that was thrown off the balcony in the chat room. I appreciate you guys throwing that in there. I did read it, and man, I feel icky after reading it. It sucks. I knew I didn't want to read that because sometimes there's just too much to read. Anyways, going back to Austin, right? Because Austin is, well, it's a sprawl city. You know, it's very liberal. They claim that they're a sanctuary city, and they've noticed a problem. And the problem is, well, they're set to double their population in 20 years. So they're looking at the same size roads, and they're going, man, we need a solution. They're, you know, 75% of the people that are on the road are just single drivers, you know, people in single cars. So they're driving around by themselves. They're going to the store by themselves. They're going to work, and they're coming home by themselves. And we've got to change that because we can't double the size of the roads, and so we're going to have to cut that down. So they put a master plan in place where they're going to attempt, or they're going to put some, you know, markers or whatever on decision making. So they reduced the number of single drivers by 50% in 20 years. So that's going to mean, you know, pushing people onto buses and, you know, building some, you know, light rail type infrastructure and stuff like that. And maybe even the wonderful stuff called, you know, toll roads. You know, the city can actually get money off of toll roads and get you out of the driver's seat
Well, the city doesn't get money for those. Other corporations that we give our roads to get money off of those.
Well, I know, but just think about the private individual politicians, Alan. You know, the one that inks the deal that gives the money to the foreign agent that collects the money from the corporate U.S. citizens. That
oh, so you're talking about the under-the-table profits. Okay, okay. Got you now.
Well, you know, what Hollywood likes to call the back end, right?
Yeah.
You know, so they're somebody's going to make some money there, right? And, as long as Austin, you know, is able to get 50% of the single drivers, what did they call them, single occupancy drivers off the road, I guess that's all they really matter. And that's going to, you know, if you think about it as a logistical step, okay, Austin's freeways are packed, and you can't get anywhere, right, Alan? Let's just take that as a given.
A couple of times, I don't care to go into Austin too much. Yeah, that's pretty much
right.
It's a nut house, yeah.
We'll just say that that's true. Okay, and let's also say that it's true that they're going to have double the amount of people driving on the roads in 20 years, right? Okay, great. So now it's double the amount of people. Now the roads aren't passable at all, right? So in 20 years, we'll half that, and they'll still be crap because they're crap today. So because you half doubling, and then you're back to... So they're not going to do a damn thing. I don't know that they can do anything. It's stupid. But
because you really don't own anything, Steve. It's like out here. You know, we're having a similar but different problem out here with they've got this what's called the Permian Basin pipeline coming through. They want to put a 42-inch pipeline through out here. And of course, these pipelines don't go, you know, they don't go through in an eminent domain or just, like you said, planning. Every time I hear that word plan, I think of the Planning Association and their takings and things like that. They don't do that through the middle of a city because that would be way too expensive to eminent domain and even have to pay even market price, you know, for the property that they're going to destroy and rip up to put this pipeline through. They do it out in the country, and they disturb us people out here who have, you know, nice, you know, comforting lives as much as we can get. And then you've got some, nope, it's critical infrastructure, and it's coming through. You know, we're going to eminent domain or just take your land and, you know, no say about it. And it's like, well, what's critical about that infrastructure? All that gas is being slated to go down to ports so it can be shipped offshore. It's not even for the American
right.
people. You know, so tell me what is critical about that for our country and the people living here. There's not a damn thing. It's for profit for the corporations, and here we go again.
Right. And our gas comes from overseas, and there you go, what?
Okay, we're the largest oil producer on the planet now. Why are we still buying oil from Saudi Arabia? Why are we shipping our oil offshore and buying oil from another place? I mean, the whole thing is just insane.
Well, it's to keep the global economy working, I believe. Right, so the oil producers, it's a scam. You know, they rig the price of oil, and they say, well, we refine that grade of crude over here, so why don't you just ship it to Saudi Arabia to have us process the crude that's, you know, harvested or whatever they call it, collected over in Texas. You know, so they move it from Texas to there, and then where are we going to sell it? Hey, I hear these guys over in Greece want to buy gas. Okay, so we're going to turn it from Texas oil into gas and sell it to the Greeks. Right? So that's allegedly how I understand the oil industry to work, and so they don't change the refineries all the time. But
it's the bureaucracy. Everyone in the bureaucracy up and down the chain has to get their cut, has to get their graft out of it. I mean, it's like around here, you know, these hot funds we have around here, you know, they're real proud of their hotel occupancy taxes, you know. And they had a problem here with all these B&Bs springing up. and they weren't getting hot fund revenue off of that. So, oh, we got to change that. All you people out there that built those cute little places, and now you're going to have to start doing hot funds, and you're going to have to start coming begging to the city council and everything, you know, and the county commissioners for you know, your existence on the planet, and you're going to have to pay them a little more DITA, and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. And the hot funds is an interesting subject. Actually, the B&Bs, you know, we're talking about that, the Census Bureau, and when I was thinking about what are we going to get when the census takers come to town, Alan? For everybody listening on the radio, let me frame the situation. Back in 2006, there was some around there, the population, 2005, was around 8,000, 9,000 people, you know, the high end of 8,000, right? And then in 2012, it came up to be 10,500, right? So, but now, since that time, since the census takers have come, I've known lots of people that have moved from out of town or to the out of town, left their houses in Fredericksburg. There's a lot of second homes in Fredericksburg. There's a lot of bed and breakfasts in Fredericksburg. So is our population actually going to go down? Is a big question that I have, you know, because we haven't had that many new buildings being built. Have we had 1,000 new buildings, Alan? Do you know? Would you guess?
Easily, Steve. Yeah, I mean, there's building everywhere. Steve, actually, that it might go down because, you know, like, you know, for one thing, Fredericksburg, you know, a lot of those houses in town were second homes because most of the people lived out in the country, and when they came to town to conduct business, you know, sometimes it would take them a day or so just to get to town in the old days. So they would you know, spend all day going to town. They would get to town, and they had what was called a Sunday house. You know, it was just a cheap little house you bought, you know. I mean, you know, you might have paid $1,000 for the lot and the house and every little two-bedroom house, you know, so you could come into town and have some place to stay, conduct your business, and then go back out to your ranch where you actually lived. And, you know, that was kind of the norm. That's all those little tiny houses are going for easily $250,000 now for that little tiny lot and that little tiny house. And instead of a family or anything else being there, it's, you know, a single occupancy. You know, someone who made their money and they wanted to move to a quaint little place, and they move here and they change it into what the hell they left. I can't understand that. But so, yeah, it will be interesting to see what the census reveals, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, so now I'm arguing for the data. Well, I know the city has the data, right? The city has the data, and we've got a data manipulator. You know, his name's Kent Myers. He's from the West Coast, and, you know, he's not from the Planning Association, but he's been highly trained. You know, he's
got a green award.
Definitely,
from him, yes.
He's a globalist, right? You know, he has created Disneyland since I've been here, and it will continue to go that way until it doesn't. And because I don't see our economy, the corporate United States economy, carrying on too long. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe they're going to figure out some way to make this ship, you know, fly upright. But with the price of oil being unpegged from the U.S. dollar, the fact that everybody understands, well, not everybody understands that the U.S. dollar is fiat currency. Most of them can't even say fiat. They think it's a good car. God, isn't that crazy? But, you know, the more people that figure that out, the worse off we're gonna get. It'll crash. And I look at Fredericksburg as having a lot of really nice low-income housing with all these bed and breakfasts, because the owners are going to want to try to rent them out to somebody. Because a lot of families that have these B&Bs, they have their house here in Fredericksburg, and then they have two or three little B&B things where they have a small house with a small guest house in the back, and they've, you know, put a bunch of furniture in them and made them look all cutesy for the visitors. And so they're like hotel rooms permanently. And eventually they're not going to be able to get $200 to $500 a night for them. That's just my thought. Maybe the whole world's going to go a different direction, and they're going to get $500 and $1,000 a night from them because, well, Fredericksburg doesn't get hit by all the crap. You know, it is a little globalist
community. Once upon a time, that might have been because we were an agricultural community, you know, and basically almost kind of, you know, self-sustaining to a point. But anymore, it's like, you know, if the crash hits, it's like, well, we can still, you know, we've still got our land. We can still grow our own food. And it's like, look at all this food. Well, we got to eat is grapes. Can you survive on grapes?
Yeah. Well, they don't make that many grapes, Alan. Silly man. That's crazy. They, you know, they like grapes as dressing, right? They on the highway side, they'll put two or three rows of grapes so people can look at them and get the grapey feeling as they're driving down 290.
Wow, y'all sure get a lot of production out of that half acre of grapes. How do you make 2 million bottles of wine from that?
Yeah, well, we don't know how they make all this wine. It might just be, well, a lot of people say that it's from grape juice concentrate, and, you know, maybe it's all Welch's wine. I don't know. Man, if those folks over in Fredericksburg ever get a hankering to listen to our show, Alan, you know, we definitely won't get any hot fun. I mean, that's guaranteed.
No, but you won't find me going begging to the city council for them either. It's I mean, people, I would love to see that process, Steve, getting down on their knees and supplicating themselves and crawling on their knees. Oh, come on, you crawl up that first step. If you get to the second step, right, we might give you some funds. Come on.
So for you all that don't understand what we're talking about, the Fredericksburg, quote, hot funds, H-O-T funds, with something that our city has set up, and they tax people for it. Well, in this case, there's the hotel occupancy tax. Everybody that has, stays in a hotel or a bed and breakfast, has to pay like $6.95 a night or some god awful number to stay in the room. And that gets paid directly to the city, who doles out a portion of that back to people that beg the second or the third week of January. It might be February, so let's just say in the early months of the year. And so they have a hot funds meeting, and everybody packs City Hall, and they go, okay, there's a hot funds portion of the evening, and you raise your hand and says, I'm Steve O'Brien, and I need $2,568 to do my show. You know, the Republic of Texas Radio, we're going to give it all to RBN because they're important. What do you do, Steve? Well, I badmouth you guys. That's really important. So, you know, maybe I'll do that next year. Probably not. Those guys, they get my blood pressure up, and I'm not doing too good with trying to keep that blood pressure down. So we'll see. We'll see when that comes up. Hey, you got anything to add before we move on to the phone? We got Art on the line, so Alan.
Oh, let's get Art in there. Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it kicking here.
Well, there you go. Ramp it up, Art.
So or down. Where are you wanting that kick?
I don't care.
Oh, anywhere that hasn't been kicked before, if you can find a spot.
Okay, just don't expect too high. I mean, I'm doing good to get up above the knee at the moment. Anyway, you know, you were talking about oil and gas and such as that. First of all, I want to encourage everyone to go to topdocumentaries.com, or what is it, topdocumentaryfilms.com. And look up a documentary called To the Last Drop. Now, this is a documentary about the Canada tar sands, which is in upper northern Alberta, Canada. It's believed to be one of the, if not the largest, natural oil deposit in North America. And it produces vast amounts of oil per year. Now, when you watch this documentary, pay attention to the absolute devastation of the land surrounding what the tar sands. Now, keep in mind that this is Canada oil, Canadian oil. This is not U.S. oil. This is Canadian oil.
Okay, then, hang on there, Art. We got the music, so we'll be right back with you, Republic of Texas Radio.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. So here we fight all through.
All right. Welcome back. Republic of Texas Radio. Man, my brain just biffed. Art, you're on the line. We're talking about a documentary about oil. What's the name of that documentary again?
Okay, you can go to topdocumentaryfilms.com, and it's called To the Last Drop. Now, there are actually some who say that this is the largest oil deposit on the planet. What you're looking at here is basically it is a body of sand completely saturated with bitumen or oil. Now, it has wreaked absolute havoc on the land trying to extract this oil. Now, jump over to the Keystone Pipeline. Remember when Trump signed his little, yeah, we're going to do the Keystone Pipeline, and everybody was doing backflips and somersaults and yahoos and yahoos and, oh, it's, you know, unicorns and Skittles and rainbows. We're going to have the Keystone Pipeline. Okay, well, let's think of it like this. Go to Washington State, Oregon State, and these areas where the Northern Pipeline runs through the United States. Follow that pipeline and look at the damage ecologically to the environment that that pipeline has done. And this is what you're looking at with the Keystone Pipeline. This is what you're going to have running all the way from Canada all the way down to Texas. Now, what's unique is Texas has several refineries. However, none of this oil will be going to the Texas refineries. It will all be going aboard ship and shipped to other countries. Who knows what countries? I don't know. Nobody's ever told me what countries they're going to. But this oil is not going to stay here in North America. It's going to go overseas. Meanwhile, you have ridiculous gas prices. And here's what I don't understand. When I was out in Texas, I couldn't believe there are six refineries that I was able to locate. But look at the price of gas. Seriously? What's wrong with this picture? When you have gas refineries right down the damn road, why is gas $3-something a gallon? I don't get it. Do you? It makes no sense to me. But no, let's go ahead and we'll run a pipeline all the way from Canada right straight down through right through the heartland of America, pollute that land with a leaky oil pipe. You know it's going to leak. Every pipeline does. You can't avoid it. And let's destroy the environment through that. Nobody's going to make any money off of this. All this money is going to go to other countries. Why? Because it's not U.S. oil. Gee golly, imagine how that one's going to work out. You know what? I got a better idea. Canada, do you have shipping ports? You have a West Coast. You have an East Coast. Do you have shipping ports? How about you run that pipeline across to your own damn shipping ports? Keep it the hell out of our backyard.
I was just going to bring that up. From what I heard, the Canada wouldn't, because they didn't want the environmental destruction with that pipeline going all the way across their country.
No, let's pollute the United States oil, or land in the United States.
Let's go through Jimmy's yard instead of ours. That's a lot better.
Absolutely. And this is the absolute insanity that we're dealing with here. It's ridiculous. And like you said, we are now one of the world's largest oil producers. Why the hell are we still buying foreign oil?
I know some guys out west of us a little bit that they had some big machinery, and they're out there taking the overburden off of the oil shale out west of us here. So, that's got to be more expensive than just pumping it out of the ground.
Okay, hang on, guys. Break coming up, top of the hour. Should be really short. Might be a little bit longer than short. Republic of Texas Radio.
The sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.